by Krishna's attractiveness. When we render devotion, when we render service to Krishna, and when that service is done ahitukiya pratihata, when it is, you know, on the rare occasions that we render service to Krishna without some material motivation, then we find ourselves enraptured or captured, if you like, by that experience. I remember when the teacher Rupa and I started going to the temple. We went to the Sunday feast, and one of the devotees preached to us and told us that we should chant on beads, and we should chant 16 rounds every day. So we took our beads home. You know, the devotee said to me, do you know how to chant? I said, yeah, sure, I know how to chant. I'd already learned the Maha Mantra some years before, and I thought that chanting 16 rounds should be fairly easy. And or at least I could do it. I figured we could do it. So we took the beads. And then we came back the next week, and the same devotee was preaching to us, and he said, are you chanting? I said, yes. Are you chanting 16 rounds? I said, yes. He said, okay, now you should come to Mangalarti every day. So that next day was the beginning of Julan Yatra. And so the devotees encouraged us to come so that we could swing Radha and Krishna at Mangalarti. And when we got there, then the swinging of Radha Krishna was just a picture hanging from the ceiling, and we were swinging just the BBT picture of Radha and Krishna. But actually, it was very, you know, and that was the first morning that I remember sitting in the temple room with the devotees and chanting japa, which was a really, you know, mystical experience for me, because, you know, when you come into the temple room, you hear all the, the buzzing of the japa. And I remember that morning putting a lot of effort into my japa and actually experiencing the sound and being completely captivated and realizing, yes, this is it. This is what they were talking about. It's real. Of course, that experience for me was a little bit like, well, a little bit old and minute. Experience, and so, but for me, it was very meaningful and very attractive, that experience of chanting Hare Krishna and actually hearing the sound vibration of the mantra and being completely captured by it. Of course, it only lasted for a short period of time, and then I was thinking, oh no, it's gone. But the Chintaripa and I used to, we started going to the temple, we started doing service at the temple. But often what we would find is we would leave the temple and come home and say, oh boy, that was so intense. Glad to be home. But then after a while we think, oh no, I want to go back to the temple. I want to go back and do some service. You know, it was very intense to be in the temple and always engaged in service and being under pressure, if you like, you know, to get things done on time, to do things properly, to be challenge. To do things in a properly focused way is somewhat stressful. And so one seeks some kind of relief from the stress, but then when one gets that so-called relief, then one thinks, oh no, I want to go back and serve Krishna again. So, you know, there's a certain taste. There's a certain attractiveness that exists in Krishna, and that exists in Krishna's service, that the devotees hanker for. They aspire to relish that association and relish that taste of being with Krishna. And that's exemplified by the residents of Dwarka. Because they're saying to Krishna, how can we exist without you? If you keep going away from Dwarka, how can we exist? We're eternally your servants. And they're completely sold out to Krishna. And for the Prabhupada gives that example. The example where we have a relationship with Krishna like the sun rays have a relationship with the sun. There's a natural connection. One doesn't exist without the other. They're part of the all part of the equation. Without one, you don't have the other. What do you think? Krishna said, Mame Vamsa Loke Jiva Bhutta Sanatana Mana Sastan Indriyani Papatistan Kashiti. Mame Vamsa Jiva Loke. All of the living entities are a part and parcel of this. Mamsa means a part of Krishna. Jiva Buddha Sanatana, eternally. So we all exist as a result of our relationship and our connection with Krishna. We are not different from Krishna in that we are part of Him, perfectly pure and spiritual, cognizant with our own individuality. Krishna has his individuality, we have our individuality. He's just a, what is it? Nityo Nityanam Chaitanas Chaitanam. Eko Bahunam Yogi Tathati Kalam. Prabhupada quotes this from the Upanishads. Nityo Nityanam. We're all eternal, but of all of the eternal living entities, he is the chief eternal. Nityo Nityanam. Chaitanas Chaitananam. He is the, of all of the conscious eternal living entities, he is the chief. Eko Bahunam. He is the one amongst many. Eko Bahunam. Yo Vidhati Kamam. Who's fulfilling the desires of everyone. So, you know, there is an eternal connection. At the moment, Prabhupada says here, at the moment we've become disconnected from Krishna. Just as on occasion clouds may fill the sky and disconnect the sun rays from the sun. The sun rays are molecular parts of the solar radiation. Thus the sun rays and the suns cannot be separated. The separation by the cloud is temporary and artificial. And as soon as the cloud was cleared, the sun rays again displayed their natural effulgence in the presence of the sun. So, you know, due to Maya, which is like clouds of ignorance, fog and clouds are representations of ignorance, and they get in between the living entity and Krishna, this ignorance. But it is not our natural position, it is an artificial imposition. You know, the example that I like to give, or Prabhupada gives, is the example of the drops of water that fall from the clouds are pure, clear, sweet water. But when they fall into the earth, then they mix with the dirt and it becomes mud. The pure water is still there, but it's covered over by the dirt. So similarly also, our original position is Krishna conscious, pure and unadulterated. But when we come in contact with matter, then our original spiritual identity gets covered and we identify with this material body. But our original spiritual position still exists. Just that it's become covered over by this artificial covering. It's not actually who we are, it's a temporary covering of our original spiritual identity, and it covers also, as a result of that, it covers also our connection with Krishna. Very unfortunate. And, as Prabhupada says here, this artificial covering of Maya has to be removed. So that we can again re-establish our relationship with Krishna. This is the process of devotional service. The whole process. When we follow the process of devotional service, then we remove that covering and again we're able to see Krishna. Of course, in that beginning stage of devotional service, this is what Prabhupada says, the probationary stage, the stage of following the regulating principles, we experience this, the fact that we're tatastha, what's called tatastha shakti, which means the marginal energy. And the marginal energy can be influenced by the spiritual or it can be influenced by the material. Right? So sometimes we come in the temple and we chant our rounds and see the deities and take prasadam and render service and everything is just like nectar. Right? And we feel like we're in a spiritual world. And then other days we come and everything feels like just drudgery. Like eating dirt. Walking through molasses, you know, just all the struggle. Because we find ourselves under the influence of the material energy. We can either be under the influence of the material or the spiritual. And as we follow the process of devotional service, then gradually we put ourselves in a firmer and more fixed position in devotional service. Of course, this happens by Krishna's mercy. Right? Primarily it happens by Krishna's mercy. You know, just like Prabhupada gives the example, we can't force the sun to come up at midnight. Right? The sun comes up of its own accord when it's ready. So similarly also, for a devotee who follows the process of devotional service, the realization of Krishna consciousness gradually manifests according to our endeavor, but not that we can just sit around waiting for Krishna's mercy. Right? There's a combination. Sit down. prayer, isn't it?
Yeah.
Another prayer. Sit down. She wants to come up here. Or come up here and sit on the seat. So, one has to follow, and it's interesting here, Prabhupada says, the illusionary energy or the curtain of Maya has to be removed. And when it is so done, the living entity can see the Lord face to face, and all his miseries are at once removed. Every one of us wants to remove the miseries of life, but we do not know how to do it. The solution is given here, and it rests on us to assimilate it or not. So what is Prabhupada saying? Is it? The solution is given here, and it rests on us to assimilate it or not. When Prabhupada says, the solution is given here, what is he referring to, do you think?
The process.
Yeah, where is he giving the process?
Continuously get attracted by devotional service.
What was the first bit that you said then?
Continuously get attracted, because attraction is not just in one shot.
Yep. Anybody got another idea? No, there's nothing, there's no wrong. This is not a, you know, sometimes everybody's thinking, oh, there's a right answer. I don't want to be wrong. Right. This is just a test of all, a test of me, because, you know, Prabhupada, well, yes, the solution is given here, be connected with Krishna, I guess. Right? Be connected. How will we get connected with Krishna?
By changing the holy name.
Yes.
I think about that. I got to be on the
jaundice. Jaundice?
You keep getting sugar, you get a taste level.
Take the medicine.
Take your medicine.
Don't like it.
Take your medicine.
Yeah, I guess so. I was thinking that the solution is given in the Bhagavatam. The process of devotional service is given. You know, the residents of Dwarka are Raga Bhaktas. Right? Ragatmika, is it? Ragatmika. Bhaktas. Are we Ragatmika Bhaktas? Hands up, who's a Raga Mika Bhakta? Must be somebody. Everybody's smiling. What's that mean? Somebody else, not me. Or none of us. Raga Mika Bhaktas. Yeah. So, you know, Raga Mika Bhakta feels this connection with Krishna and feels the separation deeply. Intensely. Just like Narada Muni. The example was given a few chapters before of Narada Muni, who followed the process of sadhana. Right? But then as a result of his sadhana practice, was able to see the Lord face to face. But then what happened? What happened? He disappeared. And what was Narada Muni's response? How did he respond? First of all, how did he respond when he saw Krishna? He became completely invigorated and enlivened and enthusiastic to render service. Hrishikesha, Hrishikena. The devotional service is to render service to the master of the senses. So this is what's happening in the residents of Dwarka. They're seeing Krishna, and so immediately they're enlivened. and enthusiastic. All of the senses become alive, powerfully alive, so that one becomes invigorated. And when one connects with Krishna, then one becomes very enlivened. And a bit, you know, when we're in a bit of maya, then life is tough. Everything's too hard. I don't want to do it. Usually it hits us about 4 o'clock in the morning. But if you just overcome that hurdle and connect with Krishna, then things will. So, you know, Narada Muni followed the process of devotional service and was then, as a result of the perfection of his meditation, he was able to see the Lord. And thoroughly enthused and enlivened, invigorated, emotionally and devotionally surcharged. But then what happened? What happened? He disappeared. And then what happened? What did Narada Muni do then? Yeah. And then what did he do? Yeah, but before that, he was crying. He was lamenting. I saw the Lord. But then he disappeared. How unfortunate am I? So this is the mood of the residents of Dwapara also. Krishna, we saw you, but then you went away. You left us. How can we survive? Of course, the devotees survive by Narada Muni, then try to again remember the Lord. And of course, this is the process of devotional service. The process of devotional service is so amazing that even though Krishna is not present, actually through the process of devotional service, he is present. And so by the performance of devotional service, one regains one's connection. But then that's, the degree to which that's manifest depends on the purification, depends on the purity of the devotee and the advancement of the devotee. So Prabhupada says here, we are disconnected from Krishna. We are separated from Krishna by this illusory potency. Slightly different than Narada Muni and the residents of Dwarka, because they're connected and they remain connected by the performance of their devotional service. They remain connected. That's the example that we want to follow. That even though Krishna may not be personally present, he is with us because we never forget him. And we're always engaged in devotional service. But in order to get to that platform of Radha Bhakta, we've got to go through the process of regulated sadhana. There's 3 stages of devotional service. And that's the process. And of course, that's the process that Narada Muni followed. First of all, he had the qualification. He was a simple boy. Not overly agitated, you know, not so, didn't have, what do they call it? ADD. You know what ADD is? Attention Deficit Disorder. Can't sit still for a second. He was peaceful. So, you know, I guess Adol Shraddha, he had the prerequisite qualification of faith. And he was peaceful. Adol Shraddha Sadhu Sangha. Right? So then he got, most important, you know. Most important is one gets the association of the devotees. Because even you may be very qualified, you may have some faith or some qualification, but that can't be built on if you don't get the association of the Vaishnavas. In Narada Muni's example, he got the association of the Bhaktivedantas. In our example, we got an opportunity to associate with Srila Prabhupada and with Srila Prabhupada's. We got to associate with the Bhaktivedanta and the followers of Bhaktivedanta. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. That's our good fortune. And then we took shelter. Like the first item of devotional services recommended by Rupa Goswami is Guru Padashraya. So our Guru Padashraya means following Prabhupada, especially within ISKCON. Okay, we may have our Diksha Guru, Siksha Guru, or whatever, but ultimately we only have that opportunity to take shelter of our Diksha, Siksha, Vatna, Pradashika Guru as a result of what Prabhupada did. So he's our Guru Padashraya. He's the person that we all take shelter of. And we follow his instructions. Prabhupada's given us the blueprint. You know, the template for the performance of devotional service. He's given us the society. He's given us a structure within which we can all work in order to pursue that performance of devotional service. And that's bhajana kriya. That's the practice of devotional service. This is the development. The development of love or prema, bhakti, starts off with faith. And basically it's a development of faith in the association of the devotees. And when we get that association of the devotees and practice the process, perform the activities of devotional service, then we find ourselves, you know, facing obstacles or facing attachments, facing material difficulties in the material world, so we have to face those things, but also our anattas. So bhajana kriya is followed by, or they coexist, all of these things actually coexist. Or shall we say our bhajan progresses as we remove our anattas. Ideally, remove the influence of the mind of passion, remove the influence of the mind of ignorance. You know, when Guru Govinda would meet you, he would say in Arisa, I don't know what it was. It's because I had to ask him what it was when he said it. But basically, words to the effect is, like, how's it going? In Australia, you say, how's it going, mate? But in Vaishnava culture, you say, how is your bhajan? Right? How is your bhajan going? How are you making... In other words, are you making progress in your devotional service? Right? That's what we ask. But how's it going in the material world? There's always something going on. Right? There's always something not right. That's why we say, oh, okay. Or, not bad. Right? Except for the devotees, you know, it's ecstasy. Ecstatic. But anyway, this, you know, bhajan can be blocked at the stage of anatta nivritti if one doesn't give up the unwanted things. Right? The items of surrender is to accept that which is favourable. Right? What is it? Gee. Anukulyasya sankalpa, pratikulyasya varajanam. I do know these things. I should know them, I forget them. Anyway, accept that which is favourable, but then the next thing is reject that which is unfavourable. So this is anatta nivritti, the beginning of devotional service. And we do that by, you know, we take initiation, then sadharma vritcha, we inquire. This is our process. We inquire. This is why the spiritual master is so important. For our spiritual master is plural, Vande Gurun, because we take shelter of those devotees who help us identify the obstacles and the attachments and help us then remove them. Why the study of Prabhupada's books is so important also? Because Prabhupada gives us instruction so that we can so we can hone our intelligence. You know, like you get an axe. How many of you have ever used an axe? Probably not very many. No. I used to cut religious things. What did your school classroom look like? Actually, you know, to be honest, most classrooms look the same. But certainly in the classrooms that I was in as a young boy, they all had a pot belly stove in them. And I used to, when we were living in Mount Burr, it was my duty to cut up all the firewood for the whole school. That was like five classrooms, I think. But it was fun, you know, like get out with a big axe and cut the wood, fill up a wheelbarrow and then take it to all of the classrooms. I don't think they have potbelly stoves in classrooms anymore. It's, you know, it's gas. But anyway, you have to, you know, after a while you've got to sharpen the blade of the axe because it gets blunt. Right? So you get one of those stones and some oil and then you rub it around, make the blade sharp. So we need to sharpen our intelligence. You know, one of the means by which we cut our attachments to material life and material existence is with knowledge, the sword of knowledge. You know, the knots of material, they're so complex, and everything is so caught up and tied up, and it's so entangled, you know, there's no way you can unpick the whole thing. The best way is just to cut the hole, cut the sword, cut the knots of attachment with the sword of knowledge. But in order to be knowledgeable, one has to receive proper instructions. That's why reading Prabhupada's books, or hearing, why we regularly hear the Bhagavatam. Nitya Bhagavata Sevaya. The Bhagavatam is our very means of conquest, it mentions. So that's that. Anatta Nivritti stage. And Narada Muni went through all of these, followed this process. He heard from the Bhaktivedantas. He heard from the proper authorities how to follow the practice of devotional service. So that after Anatta Nivritti, when we remove, then one becomes steady. Steady in the practice of devotional service, nishtha. And then as a result of being steady, then gradually what arises in the heart of the devotee is ruchi or taste, especially taste for rendering service, taste for chanting. Then one develops attachment for Krishna, which is what we see naturally manifesting in the residents of Dwarka. They have a natural attachment and attraction for Krishna. At the moment we're not sure. One day we think, yeah, okay, next day we think, oh boy, what's going on here? anatta. This is unwanted things cloud our intelligence and cloud our discrimination. Desires for material things conquer our desire to serve Krishna. You know, we have full intention of rendering service to Krishna, but our desire to serve Krishna gets choked out by this. Was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives the example of watering the Bhakti Lata beach is like being a gardener. And his anatta nivritti stage is like pulling out the weeds of the garden. You know, you can fully intend to have a fantastic garden, but and you water it, you put the manure and the fertilizer and everything on it, but then you forget to pull out the weeds and then you end up with a garden of weeds. And even the garden of weeds, the weeds look like the Bhakti Lata beach. They actually look very similar. We've seen that even in the history of Islam. You know, we've embraced activities thinking, yes, I can engage this in Krishna's service. But then foolishly, we didn't realize that actually this the activity was a weed, non-devotional service, and it didn't help our devotional practice, but actually it choked it. So we want to unchoke our devotional service, and we do that by chanting Hare Krishna, studying, inquiring, hearing, you know, removing the unwanted things, pulling out the weeds can be painful. Pulling, identifying our attachments. You know, a lot of the time we're not aware of our attachments. Then we become aware of them, and that becomes very painful because we're attached. Oh no, I don't want to give that up. But when we are so attracted to Krishna, then we can give up anything for Krishna's service because we become so absorbed and so absorbed in Krishna that nothing else matters. Nothing is more important. But it takes some effort, you know, to get from this stage of anatta nivritti to nishtha, steady. It requires constant effort and practice. And in the probationary, the Prabhupada says this is the probationary stage. Right? You know, we're devotees, but that's not, we've not got to the stage of bhava like Narada Muni or here. The residents of Dwarka. We still, there's occasionally a bit of a cloud comes over the sky. You know, when the clouds come, then we get depressed. But keeping with the association of the devotees and keeping faithful to the practice, that's why we take vows, no meat eating, no gambling, no intoxication, no illicit sex, chant 16 rounds. Render service to keep us on the path, on the progressive path. Ye yata nam prapanjyamte tathaya, what is it? As they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. Everybody follows my path. Right? You know, the Mayavadis, impersonalists, and all other concoctionists, you know, they say, oh, every path eventually gets, you know, to the same place. Well, you know, maybe, yes, everybody's on the path, but there are two directions in which you can travel. Towards Krishna and away from him. We want to travel towards Krishna. We're aspiring to have the same degree of attraction for Krishna as these residents of Dwarka. And so we have to know the process of devotional service and follow it. And Prabhupada says it. Every one of us wants to remove the miseries of life, but we do not know how to do it. The solution is given here. Right? Reconnect with Krishna. Follow the process of devotional service. And Prabhupada says, and it rests on us to assimilate it or not. Up to us to embrace the process of devotional service or not. Hands up, which do you prefer? To follow it or not?
You don't have to put your hands up.
Rhetorical question. Not necessarily easy, but very rewarding. Does anyone have any comments or questions?
Ananda Prabhu can summarize A, B, C, D.
A, B, C, D.
A, the solution. A, the situation.
Yeah.
B, books, knowledge.
Yeah.
C, chanting.
Yeah.
And D, devotional service.
You just did it. No, I can't, because I didn't know what you were referring to. But now that you informed me. Association of books, chanting, devotional service.
Yeah.
Where did you hear that?
Somebody.
Yeah, association. Yeah, association is very important. Sadhu Sangha. Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sattva Koi. Lava Matra, Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Siddhi Hoi. It's very, very important. Books. Again, you know, books. Very powerful. But very often what the books will do is bring us into the association of devotees. Because I know for myself, I read Prabhupada's books and I couldn't understand them. And that was not because Prabhupada's books are not understandable, but because I was such a blockhead. And in the association of devotees then, the opportunity to take that knowledge, which to me was sounded theoretical, sounded fair enough, but how to apply it. So knowledge is one thing, but it's like a tool. You can have a very complicated and sophisticated tool, but if you don't know how to use it, then it's as good as useless in one sense. The Prabhupada's book is very powerful, especially for those people who value, you know, appreciate the value. And there are some people who are pure enough and elevated enough to understand, but you know, understand how to use them. They're devotees who never met the devotees, read the books, and took up the chanting of Hare Krishna. Understood, you know, read the right books, read the right passages, and understood why I should start chanting. But then to really deeply relish and to understand and appreciate the books, then one comes into the association of devotees, because the books tell us you need the association of the devotees. And usually you need the association of somebody more advanced who can help you then move up. Chanting Hare Krishna is obvious. And devotional service, that's what we will do. Yeah, chanting. Anything else?
As you said, Guru Padashraya is very important.
Yeah.
Guru Padashraya.
Yeah, Guru Padashraya. Yes, everybody has to have a guru. Even Krishna has a guru. Yeah, and that's that principle of Sad Dharma Pritcha, which means inquiry as to how to make progress.
Some vibration. And though they are all different to Krishna and the Prasad and the holiness of God. Mm-hmm. So after that, you know, there's no continuous. Some come and just get the rest of the Krishna holiness and then they ask them. They're so enthusiastic to participate. After that, you know, the attraction is not there. Sometimes any POS or feel that the attraction is there and it doesn't progress. So also understand the degree of attraction in one's
You look at the ability of the devotee to be steady in the performance of all of the practices of devotional service. You know, Prabhupada said, first to cry, first to dry. Mm-hmm. Right? So it's, you know, advancement means deeply attracted and attached to Krishna. And that's measured by service. See, if you love somebody, that means you'll be prepared to do anything for them. Right? Not that I'll do this for you, but then I'll have to get me out of it so I can do it. That's not. So there are attachment or attraction to Krishna is measured by our, you know, by some visible manifestations of devotional service. Not that, you know, we think, oh, he's really advanced, but then they don't do anything. Or they're unable to do anything. And so therefore, you know, serving Krishna means doing most things. We used to have what we called the ecstasy crew. The ecstasy crew would come to the Sunday feast and jump up and down in the kirtan and hurry ball, hurry ball, hurry ball. And eat, you know, lots of prasadam. Take home lots of prasadam. And, but, you know, Monday morning, where were they? And when it was time to do some service, where were they? They weren't there. That's why we called them the ecstasy crew. They're there for the ecstasy, the kirtan, the prasadam. But when it comes to cleaning up or actually doing some devotional service, they were in their home. So, and that's why preaching is such a test for us, because it means we had to go out. Our devotional mood or our devotional sentiment is tested. And so there's a wide variety or range of engagements. Now, in the beginning we may, you know, encourage people with prasadam and kirtan and philosophy and so forth, but then at some point it's got to be put into practice. And the deeper one meditates on the instructions of Krishna, the deeper one meditates on Krishna's manifestations, especially in the Sankirtan movement, in the form of Lord Chaitanya, in the form of the Panchatattva. This is a manifestation of the Lord in Kali, and for us. Now we see that the real mood and mission of the Lord is something, you know, that engages us comprehensively. And that engagement is a challenge, because it means, first of all, we have to follow our own sattva, right? And all of the practice all of the austerity that entails, right? Then we have to live together, and there's more austerity, right? There's the austerity of living in a hut with our wife and kids. Right? There's the austerity of going to work. Isn't it? Is going to work fun? Maybe to get away from the wife and the kids. The wife is saying, oh, work, don't get rid of that guy. But then she's at home working, you're at work. Then we come together as a society, ISKCON. Like Ravindra Swarup said in that, in his offering, you know, Bhakti Yoga is the yoga of cooperation. Right? And but this is manifest in the Panchatattva. Krishna doesn't just appear by himself. Krishna appears with his associates, with his parishads, his associates, basically. No, Radharani and the gopis, the cowherd boys, the residents of Vrindavan. Or in our age, he appears, Lord Nityananda, Advaita Acharya, Srivas, Gadadhar, to preach. So there's, you know, putting all of that together and coming up with an effective preaching community or society, plus the individuals making spiritual advancement, and all of the, you know, the obligations and responsibilities that entails. That then really tests the measure of advancement of a devotee. Right? For the brahmacharis, single men, single women is a responsibility. For the householders, a big responsibility. Isn't it? A person being able to do those things and preach, then that's a test. 16 rounds, following the principles, going to work, keeping all of that together, plus reading, studying, then teaching, that's a test. Right? Not easy. Or shall we say, not that it's not easy, it's certainly doable, and we're doing it. But then that's the test of advancement in this age. So, does that answer your question? Those who do that, we can see that's their attraction for Krishna. Right? Not that they're crying in the kirtan and rolling on the floor and showing their ecstasy. Necessarily. You know, Prabhupada said, kick him in the head. See if he's still crying. If he doesn't know this, then maybe he's in ecstasy. You know, and they're preaching. You know, you can tell by a person's preaching and by their example. And whether they're happy. Well, it's not that complicated, actually. But, you know, there has to be substance, not showbottle. You know, Prabhupada says, we're not showbottle. You know what I mean by showbottle? In the chemist, I don't have them these days, but when I was a kid, most chemists had these glass bottles, and they had blue water, yellow water, green water, red water in there. Now, if you used any of that water to try and create some medicine, you wouldn't get anything. You just have a mix of colours. So that's what it means by showbottle. Not actually potent. The container isn't potent. There's some show, it looks good, but we're not like that. We're not in it for just the show. Show may be there, but the show will be supported by substance. And that substance will be, you know, some very, very basic things. Dedication to devotional service, dedication to spiritual practice, dedication to getting the pots washed. Well, that's why, you know, in the beginning we train people, you know, well, there's that story about Vishnananda Saraswati Thakur. He was approached by one professor, you know, a very learned person, who wanted to ask him some questions. He said, go and clean the brass. Then he went and cleaned the brass, and then not sure of the exact details, but you know, he was asking, you know, do you still want to ask a question? He said, no, my question was answered while I was cleaning the brass. So very, very practical, you know, practical engagement in devotional service. And so the basics get covered. Then we can see this is a devotee who's attracted to Krishna. He's prepared to do anything to please Krishna. As I said. And so, you know, devotees like yourself prepare, you know, go to work. Right? Not much fun. But doesn't mean no, he's just a mundaner. Goes to work for Toyota. Right? Or NAB. Or any one of the other, you know, multinational conglomerates that we're all having working for. Does that make us mundaners because we're doing that? No, because we're tested by the fact that we come home, we chant Hare Krishna, we offer our food to Krishna, we study the Bhagavad Gita, we study the Bhagavad Gita, and then we give that knowledge to other people. So there's the test. I would suggest, at least in this age, we're not just interested in making advancement for ourselves, although we certainly are interested in making advancement for ourselves. But not just for ourselves. We're not Vajnanandis, which means, you know, go to the forest and just make spiritual advancement. Prabhupada was asked, you know, is there any injunction in the Shastra that says that you should chant 16 rounds? And Prabhupada says, no. There's not. He says, Sankhya Purvaka Nama Dhyana Nativhi, that one should fix up an amount of rounds. Lord Chaitanya chanted 64 rounds. But he said, you cannot do it. So therefore we fixed up 16 rounds. And even that's hard. Hard enough, you know. Sit down and chant 16 rounds. Did I say this the other day? Johnny, you know. Looks like something was trying to get out. So 16 rounds. We can't perform the bhajan. We can't. Very few of us can. Very few people can. But there are other things we can do. And, you know, whether we're doing milk distribution, or whether we're washing the pots, or whether we're dressing Krishna personally, or whether we're cleaning the floor, you know, all very dear to Krishna and beneficial for us. So there's some very, very basic things, and they all have to ultimately for us, in the mood of the Panchatattva, means supporting the preaching.
When we talk about reading TV, so the books are very powerful tool for the
preaching,
probably at the beginners of the journey, like who know about the ways and terms and what is there and what is not there and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But when you come up with the appreciation, chanting and devotional service, and then how, like, what's the normal trend? Like, books is gradually increasing or decreasing?
No, we need, I think, very good question. Books should still play an integral role in our devotional service. Prabhupada really wanted the devotees to study his books at least a couple of hours a day. And that's why, one of the reasons why he implemented the Bhagavad Gita class and in the evening the Bhagavad Gita class. Right? And the reason for that is because, as I mentioned earlier, by studying our philosophy, we cultivate knowledge. And You know, our process is nature. Bhakti, vidya, I can't remember that. Basically, you know, devotional service is dependent on knowledge. We're not sentimentalists. You know, Lord Chaitanya was criticized by the residents of Varanasi, the sannyasis, for being a sentimentalist. And they're saying, you know, the duty of a sannyasi is to study. But they didn't, and not to chant. And this is, you know, my mum, when I told her that I joined the temple, she said, oh, no, you know, what happened to you? You've been, she didn't say it, but, you know, you've been brainwashed. And that was based on ignorance, not understanding the philosophical foundation upon which Krishna consciousness rests. And well, I think of it, this is one of Tamal Krishna Maharaj's points in his thesis, in his book, that, you know, people who studied the Krishna consciousness movement in the 70s and the 80s and even in the 90s didn't look closely enough at Prabhupada's books and the literature and the tradition that he was representing to understand what the Krishna consciousness movement actually is. They're just looking for the external manifestations. So not only do other people need to study Prabhupada's books to know what we're about, but we need to study Prabhupada's books to know what we're doing. Right? And to understand the intricacies of what we're doing, because it is intricate and not difficult to understand, but there are subtleties. And, you know, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, we're like the gardener. We're watering the plants, but we need to be able to remove the weeds. We need to be able to identify the bhakti lata bij and nourish that wholly and solely, and focus on that as our main activity. And so we need to know our philosophy. Prabhupada said, in Prabhupada's asking, why philosophy? And Prabhupada said, it's okay to know that God is great, but philosophy means to know how God is great. That's what we need to know. We need to know how God is great, because people come and ask us, what about this? What about that? What about other things? If we're going to be leaders, and we're supposed to be leaders, we're supposed to be brahminical, you know, Prabhupada established the International Society for Krishna Consciousness to manifest or to build a brahminical culture. And the brahmanas are meant to be the head of society, right? The leaders. So in order for us to be able to lead, we have to be articulate. Well, first of all, we have to know what we're talking about. And then we have to be able to present it articulately so that people can understand it. Right? So that's why the books are so important. The study of the books, discussion of the books, elucidation, you know, is very important, because when we're able to demonstrate to people who God is, why He's the source of everything, why we should surrender to Him, what the purpose of surrender is, what the practice of surrender is, then we can actually help people. Right? We can actually liberate them. We have to know that. It's not just some theoretical thing or some superficial. It has to be very deeply understood. Then, with our conviction and with our own personal realizations and advancement, we can remain convinced ourselves, but we can also convince others and change their lives. That's powerful, isn't it? Yeah, very powerful. And that's why Prabhupada put the emphasis on books. Distribute my books. But in Melbourne, he said, don't just distribute my books. He said, read my books. Right? So two things. Distribute the books, read the books.
know she is Krishnendra Priti and Arvindra Priti. You differentiate.
Yeah.
Krishnendra Priti, serve Krishna, not our own senses.
Yeah, and if we're serving Krishna, then we're automatically serving ourselves. Our self interest, anyway. Yeah. Okay, anything else? Somebody else had a hand up? No? Just scratching your nose, maybe. Yeah. Pulling your ear. Okay, it's getting late. Thank you, everybody. Congratulations, my father's happy to be here. Thank you, Gaurav. 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 Thank you,